for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Hello, dream workers. Hopefully you've all had a good week working your dream work. Hopefully some of you out there actually do work your dream work. But anyways, I am Colin Delaney. Momentarily, just a minute from now, you will hear the voice of my tag team partner and co-host. His name is Cheech. We together are the independent wrestling tag team known as To Infinity and Beyond. And this, yes, this is DreamWork, the only podcast by a tag team all about tag teams. And this week, we take you on a trip. We take you on a trip back to a magical time called 2002-2003 SmackDown. I say a magical time because you'll hear us talk about it, but the roster on SmackDown alone in 2002-2003 is crazy. So we're talking about Los Guerreros, Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero Jr. But in addition to those two, you also had Kurt Angle, you had Edge, you had Rey Mysterio, you had Brock Lesnar, you had World's Greatest Tag Team, you had the Cruiserweights, so you had guys like Kidman and Noble and Tajiri, and it was a lot of fun diving back into this time, this era, this show. So if you haven't done it in a while, go back and just throw on a random 2003 episode of SmackDown. I guarantee there's at least something on there that you'll be like, wow, that was really, really good. And speaking of really, really good, that's what you get out of this week's team. Everyone knows that there's possibly no better ever than Eddie Guerrero. And we talk about it, but being on this team with Eddie just elevated Chavo to a whole different level. And the tag team is a whole lot of fun. And this podcast was a whole lot of fun to record. And hopefully it will be a whole lot of fun for you guys to listen to. So let's do it. It's Eddie Guerrero. It's Chavo Guerrero Jr. They lie, they cheat, they steal. It's Los Guerreros. Let's go! Hey, Cheech.
Orale, Holmes.
Nice. I was just going to say, usually I got something clever team oriented to say, but I have nothing today.
Oh man, not only did I watch the Guerreros matches, I also watched a couple of their old promos. So yeah, Eddie just going super Chicano Holmes with everything. So yeah, I was feeling it. Plus, I always end the show with adios, so I'll start it with a little more Spanish.
A little more Espanol. I admit I also found myself dragged into some of the segments when I would be scrolling through the old episodes of SmackDown. And like right before the match, there'd be a little something extra. And I was like, I'll put it on.
Yeah, I caught it more when I was going through YouTube. They were just, they actually highlight it and be like, oh, no, just stop here. There's a 2-minute segment. I was like, all right, I got 2 minutes.
Yeah, before their first match where they teamed together, there was a little segment before it. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this kind of explains it. And it kind of does. It's just a backstage segment of them in a stairwell talking about how they're going to call all their family members because they're teaming tonight and they're going to do the family proud.
Okay, so I assume when you're speaking of before their first time, you're talking about WWE.
Yes. Okay. Before they got teamed up there.
Okay, cause technically there is a WCW tag match.
Yeah, I caught it. We'll
okay.
We'll get there. Let's go. So we are talking about Eddie and Chavo Guerrero, Los Guerreros, as they are known.
We also need to make the distinction. It's Chavo Jr. I popped real big when I was looking through the network and there would be a random Los Guerreros from like Mid-South match. And I was like, oh, ho, ho, and the wrong Los Guerreros, but still.
Sorry, Chavo Jr., that is.
Yeah.
So yeah, Los Guerreros, preliminary thoughts going into an episode talking about and watching a lot of Los Guerreros.
I just knew it was going to be easy. Those were my preliminary thoughts. I was like, oh, that'll be easy. Their matches are always were enjoyable, so it'll be enjoyable to dig into them.
Yeah, I think I got caught up in this one. This is another team where I thought they would have more matches I didn't know, but it turns out that I am a big fan of Los Guerreros, so it turns out that I've seen most of their matches already.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like all their matches were big deals. You know what I mean? Even like their normal just anytime they teamed, it was always either like for number one contender or they were in an angle or they were in a feud. So like, yeah, a lot of this stuff is memorable. Like, oh yeah, I remember this. That's why for me, I was just like, oh yeah, this shouldn't be bad. I remembered enjoying it. It'll be fun to dig back into it.
Yeah, I kept like, oh, there's one that I've never seen. I'm watching that, even if it's not normally one that I would probably have dug into, but I was like, oh, never saw this one before, doing it.
Yeah, it was fun. So those were my preliminary thoughts. Once you got in, because since you kind of brought it up a little bit with the matches, what did you think of their amount of matches?
I was surprised by I was surprised that there weren't more. I was.
Okay, I was like, it wasn't like hugely off by any means, but I was like, oh, I thought there would have been a little more and a little more variance, but then as I dug into it more, it made sense because this is when they split brands and this is right when they're doing like the SmackDown 6. So it was like, oh, the SmackDown 6 wrestles each other a lot. So, you know, there's a lot of Ray and Edge and Angle and Benoit. So it was like, okay, I get why that's the majority.
Yeah, and they would feud with teams, and then they used to do that, like the tag team would split off and they'd do singles matches one week on SmackDown, you know? So Chavo would wrestle Benoit and Eddie would wrestle Angle, or Eddie would wrestle Ray and Chavo would wrestle Edge singles. So they kept the feuds going with singles matches a lot in that era.
Wow, you're blowing my mind because in my head, that's exactly how I would always like book stuff. Sundays at church on the back of the little pamphlets, I would always do all my wrestling bookings. And I was like, I always used to do like tag teams. I thought I was like revolutionary. I was like, watch, I'll have three tag teams, have three singles matches, all with different guys, leading to a triple threat tag match, which basically is what they did.
Yeah, 03 SmackDown. You were booking 02, 03, late 02, early 03 SmackDown at church.
Yeah, bro, you should see. Like, I gotta take pictures because I still have some of the pamphlets. Like, oh my gosh, like the Markiest Mark tournaments of like, oh my God, who are the best 16 unappreciated Japanese cruiserweights? It was crazy.
Blech, Cheech.
Yeah, those. So, but yeah, you're that. But this is all, you know, the SmackDown 6 was like pivotal, especially for people at our age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I had to change over to Raw real quick to see what Raw was putting out head to head with that because I was like, wait a second. Everybody's on SmackDown because outside the six, then you also had like Lesnar, Taker, Cena was coming up. They had all the cruiserweights. So I was like, what even is on Raw? And I checked over to Raw real quick and I was like, oh, this show looks not fun.
It's like what they normally do. Is it Raw with all like the big monsters and ghouls and characters, right?
Kinda. It was like Scott Steiner, Triple H, Rob
Hey.
Van Dam, and Jeff Hardy were like the top guys. Oh, and Booker T. And I was like, man. And then SmackDown's got all that talent. Woof.
No, I know. So it was fun getting into the matches because it was like, okay, you know, we all remember the SmackDown 6, and but it was so fun to actually be like, oh no, my homework is to actually enjoy the SmackDown 6 again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So let's get into their championships and accomplishments.
Rock on, rock on.
So they are two-time WWE Tag Team Champions.
Yep, yep, yep.
They are also the 2002 Wrestling Observer Tag Team of the Year.
Wow, okay, I wasn't sure. I was wondering if they'd actually get... I figured they would at least rank. I was like, wow, they won it that year. That's awesome.
So they won it in 02 from the Observer, and they are third runner-up from PWI in 2003 for Tag Team of the Year.
Okay, cool, cool. Wow, that's good. Because, you know what I mean? You know how we do these last times? We're like, oh, you know, like... Because they weren't the longest tag team, but they definitely had a good run. But yeah, to get... Wow, that was... Well, I'm surprised by that.
It's kind of crazy that Observer gave them the award in 02 because 03 was their like full year where they were together all year. In 02, they started teaming, I think, halfway through the year, right?
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, and I agree, but I feel like I do feel like their 02 stuff seemed more impactful just because it was the first of it. It was more out of the blue, I feel.
Yeah, that's true. But it really is like the end of the year. Like they won the titles at, I think, Survivor Series 02.
Well, and then maybe, who knows, maybe their year isn't necessarily January to January.
Yeah, that's true. But at that, those are their championship, but there's the accomplishments. I was also surprised. I did think that they would place somewhere on the PWIs because PWI lists a winner and then three runners up. So I was like, they got to be on one of those, and they were. But the Observer Tag Team of the Year took me by surprise a little bit.
Yeah, especially because, you know what I mean, we're talking the years 02, 03. Like, there was still a lot of wrestling going on in the world. You know what I mean? There's a lot of competition, even though there wasn't necessarily competition.
Yes, Billy and Chuck won the PWI Tag Team of the Year in 2002.
Wow. See, now mark that down. We'll have to get to them one day because, I mean, what the heck? I'd be there at Team of the Year. Come on.
Yeah, and hold on. The fact that we didn't get Billy and Chuck against Los Guerreros makes my heart hurt. That match sounds like it would rule.
Yeah, that does.
I think Los Guerreros were coming around right as they had, like, not split Billy and Chuck, but they were straight now, remember?
Yeah, so the bloom was off the rose.
Yeah, bummer. All right, let's talk about what matches we watched. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Because I kind of went like you. I went somewhat chronologically in that I was like, I knew. I was like, there has to be a WCW, at least one or two. I only found one. I saw their versus, and I love that it was as Vicious and Delicious, a.k.a. Buff and Scott Norton. Then I saw an Edge Cena from SmackDown in 02, a World's Greatest Tag Team, one of the many. This one was SmackDown September 1803. An Edge and Ray from a SmackDown 02. Cena and B2, or Bull Buchanan and his rapper gimmick, in an early 03 SmackDown. Team Angle from a February SmackDown. Matt Hardy, Shannon Moore from September 03, the FBI of Plumbo and Stamboli from SmackDown in March 03, Team Angle and Benoit and Rhino from Mania 19, then a Benoit Rhino from a SmackDown around that time. I fell a bit into a rut of right around Mania stuff. Then a Rikishi Mark Henry from the end of 02, October, and then a Benoit Angle on a SmackDown in 02. And then an Edge Kidman, which was I was glad I got it in because that one was a heck of a match from a SmackDown right at the end. It was the day after Christmas, 02.
Is that it?
Yeah, that was it.
All right, all right. So I think I hit a lot of the same ones. I also started with the Buff Bagwell Scott Norton. Can you believe that there's not another WCW match with them together?
I could because I remembered the gimmick. I knew it was the whole tough love. Eddie's my favorite wrestler. So it was more him just yelling at him from ringside. Like when I did scroll through, it was like Chavo with Eddie or Eddie with Chavo. It was all like as his manager nonsense, not necessarily tag matches. But yeah, I would have thought there was at least one or two, but it was just one.
That's the one. And then I went into them against Edge and Ray, Edge and Rikishi. Rikishi and Mark Henry, Benoit and Angle, Kidman and Edge, Cena and B2, Team Angle, FBI, Team Angle, Matt and Shannon, and the Bashams.
Okay, I was waiting to hear if you said it because I kept flirting with the idea and I was like, nah, I'm not gonna watch the Bashams. There are other things to watch.
It's been a while since I let my eyes gaze over the tag team known as the Bashams, and it's an adventure.
Old Doug and Danny.
Whew, it was, yeah, that is not how I wanted to end my day, but I did it. I did it.
Okay, well then here, let's start where I ended mine. Did you catch, you saw the Edge and Kidman one, right?
I did, yeah.
How good was that? I was not expecting that at all. I thought, oh, Kidman, I go, okay, it's a throwaway tag. They just want to get heat probably on Eddie and Edge. All right, fine, let me see. And then, oh my God, all the dusty finishes, or okay, the fake finish where it was like, oh, they get counted out, and he goes, oh no, we're making it no count out. Then he gets DQ'd and goes, oh no, we're making it no DQ. And then A-Train comes out and screws over Edge in the end. Oh my God. And then there were so, but like that's just like the short of it. Like all the things building to all that was so great. I couldn't believe it. It caught me totally off guard.
So I wasn't as caught off guard by it because I knew I had watched them with Edge and Rey, and I'd watched them with Edge and Rikishi, and I've seen them with other Edge teams before. I know they started basically feuding with Edge and Rey when they started teaming. So throwing Edge and Kidman was just kind of like I was like, oh, the Edge is great with the Guerreros, so I think this one should line right up, and it did. And I think the week before I skipped it. Because I just watched Benoit Angle, but I think the week before they wrestle Edge and Kidman, it was Benoit and Kidman.
Oh wow. Yeah, that was the thing. Like I understood like the parts. Like I wanted to see it because I was like, oh, Kidman's good. All four guys are really good. It'll be a slight curveball compared to what Ray would throw at him. But I didn't expect him to go like balls out like that. And the fact that it was booked as such. It was booked in a fashion to like to be a really good match. And it was great. Like and that was the greatness of the SmackDown 6 era of 02, 03 SmackDown was that like oh yeah, there'd be a random tag match like that where they're gonna have all these crazy false endings and it was great.
And here's the weave in and out why there's less Guerrero's tag matches. See, the week before or the week between those two tag matches, they did like a mini angle between Chavo and Kidman over the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah, that was the thing. I thought the match was going to be more around Edge and Eddie, but it ended up being more about the Cruiserweight title that Kidman had with Chavo. And I was like, oh, okay.
No, it was a lot of fun. It made me like a lot of these matches because when you hear the commentary and you, oh, by the way, oh no, that's not the one I was gonna say. Is that the match with the cat on commentary? Because woof, but it's
Oh,
not.
yeah, there is one with the guy, and it is bad.
Holy crap. Anyways, but yeah, you hear the commentary talk about like what weaves these stories in together, and I was like, oh man, I kind of want to go back and like watch the lead up to some of this, even though it's not tag matches and it's singles matches.
Yeah, I know that, but that was the thing. Yeah, as I was looking through, it was a lot of t singles between tags.
So, their first WWE tag match together is with Edge and Rey Mysterio. And like the first thing I notice is that teaming with Eddie gives Chavo this like I want to say like this swagger, but like he always has that, but it almost teaming with Eddie almost legitimizes his swagger. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I had so many thoughts about Chavo. So yeah, go ahead.
Because Chavo always kind of acted like that. He always kind of had that little Eddie to him, that little like shimmy and that like that way about him. But when he's with Eddie, it makes that feel. It I don't know. It like amplifies it, and you're like, oh yeah, no, I buy this. Look at Chavo. He's oozing in it right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Because on its own, it seems a little weird. But when there's two of them doing it, it's like, okay. Because here's the thing. All right. I'll get into my Chavo thoughts. A, when I was watching him in the WCW, he was better than I remembered. Because I remember when I was young, I was just like, oh, he's not as good as them. But I was like, damn, motherfucker was only in wrestling for like 2 years. And I was like, yo, that's really good for being in, for not, you know what I mean, yes, he grew up in the family, yada, yada, yada. But still, he was a pro on shows doing that. I thought it was way more impressive. Now, as a guy who's actually wrestled, than when I was home, just being a fan, being like, he's not as good as Eddie. He doesn't do flips like Hoovy. He's not like Ray. He's more like Kidman, if anything. And but going back watching, I was like, well, yeah, okay. What did I expect? The guy wasn't wrestling that long. It was really good. And then like the fact that he had to basically live his whole career on TV almost, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, agreed. I thought the exact same thing when watching the Bagwell and Norton match. I was like, oh, I think Chavo might be better than I thought he was. But, I mean, I've wrestled Chavo. You know, he's good. He's a pro's pro for sure. But I think same thought. Like, I remember when I was watching WCW Cruiserweights back in the day, when Chavo would be in that six-man, you were like, what's Chavo really going to do?
Exactly. You know what I mean? He wasn't a flippy-do guy. He wasn't super intense guy. Like, he was really good. And not that I mean, like, he was really good. I mean, like, he was, like, the definition of good. He was, like, a wrestler's wrestler. All the stuff he did was solid. But, yeah, like you said, on his own, it doesn't jump off the page. But when it's accompanied by Eddie, who jumps off the page, it does add so much more credibility to his stuff. And, yes, he does have more swagger when he's with Eddie as well.
Yeah, and a bunch of times I found myself writing, Chavo is super crisp here.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's super basic. It's suplexes. Like, he excels. It took me a while to figure out. He excels at the heat part. Like when it's just time for him to beat up on the guys for a while, that's where he shines. Like, he's not super flashy in the beginning, even though, yes, he does do, you know, he's got technically high-flying type moves, but you know what I mean? Nothing's crazy.
Yeah, so I found myself, I enjoyed their earlier stuff where they were the heel role, but still kind of, you know, themselves, so people kind of gravitated towards it.
Yes.
As opposed to the later stuff where they were baby faces who cheated.
Yes. Yeah, it was a little different. Yeah, I appreciated them more as just like straight up heels.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. When you get to the later stuff, you're gonna find more flashy, wild stuff. That's where Eddie likes to bust out the knuckle lock, head scissors all the time. There's more gif-able things when they are baby faces who cheat. But man, they're so much better when they were just got to be the heels and run the heel part of the match.
Yeah, exactly. And like one of my favorites is, let me see which one it is exactly, because that's the problem. Like at a certain point, I had to be like, all right, I got to take some time off Benoit. There's one of the Benoit matches where it's Chavo loses his cool and starts beating him up, and Eddie has to like almost pull him off. It's like, bro, what are you doing? Relax. You're almost going to get a DQ. You're going so crazy. And then eventually he's like, nah, it's okay. Go back to beating him up. But like just in that moment, I was like, wow, it's so crazy. And like, one of my other things with Chavo, I felt bad, was I was like, man, he'd probably, it stinks because when he's in there with the great guys, it gives him more credibility, but it also kind of sucks that he's in there with the best guys. You know what I mean? Like, if he could just be on his own a little bit, I think he'd be good too. But it was just like, man, he's really good, and he's always in there with like super elite guys.
Yeah, it made me want to go back and watch the in-between stuff when they did do singles with Eddie and Chavo on the SmackDowns, and like, okay, give me Chavo against Kidman. Give me that match. Give me Chavo against Edge. That sounds like it'll be fun. You know, give me the singles. I got really entrenched in Chavo while watching this, because we all know Eddie's great and exactly. one of the best to ever do it. So I found myself just gravitating to the great things that Chavo did, being like, man, he really, like, he more than holds up his end of this team.
Yeah, no, I was doing the same thing, because it was like, okay, yes, everybody knows Eddie's great, but it was like, all right, what's Chavo bringing to the table? And he definitely, like, I don't know, it just stunk, because it was like, man, he was charismatic, but not super charismatic. He was a good wrestler, but he wasn't, like, super good. Like, he didn't, like, jump off the page, but I'm glad that a guy like him could wrestle for as long as he has, you know what I mean? Because he was good at wrestling.
Yeah, it just seems like so this, I feel like, is peak Chavo Guerrero. This would probably, yes, if you could identify the high point of his career, I would say it's Los Guerreros.
I would agree.
But I also think that potentially it's just because some of these other things that they did didn't necessarily stick, you know. But there's a, like, he is so talented that, you know, he was one good gimmick away from having a really successful run on his own. And if I recall correctly, after he split from Eddie, when he had Chavo Sr. with him, I think that was a really fun Chavo era itself.
Yeah. After this, he had a good run too. Because remember, he was getting like ECW heavyweight title matches and things like that. And yeah, he was definitely good. It was just one of those things where it was like, he was always so close. Like, even like physically, he's in good shape, but he wasn't like super jacked or he wasn't super ripped. You know what I mean?
He was ECW heavyweight champion, bruh.
Oh, okay, there you go. Or like, his gear was nice, but it wasn't like super cool. It was just nice. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't quite get over the hump other than in the ring. In the ring, he was perfectly fine. But I feel like, you know what I mean, if he had like flashier gear, you know how I mean, like how Edge looks cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if we can talk about the bodies, watching 2002-2003 SmackDown, whoo boy.
Yeah. You know, Team Angle's jacked. Eddie's jacked. Rhino's jacked. Angle's jacked. Benoit's super jacked. Actually, he wasn't super jacked. He'd been more jacked in his days, but he was still always jacked.
But, like, yeah, I definitely did take a pause at one point when I was looking at people and being like, holy crap, the steroid era was real, real. You know what I'm saying? Now, hold on a second. Like, we can't, like, you know, I'm not going to dance around it. Like, some of the guys that you would see in 2003 were still around in 2007 2008, and they didn't look like that no more.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, I think Benoit proved it. He was on steroids all the time. He just had the gimmick that made it okay for him to do it. I'm sure he wasn't the only one.
Yeah, the bodies, just in general, bodies in wrestling rarely look like everybody looked in 2003.
Bro, that's what happens when you split the crews, man. Everybody's fighting. I'm sure everyone bought in hook, line, and sinker, was like, oh, here's my chance. Here's my chance. We're doing a brand split. Here's my chance.
The shoulders on literally everybody were bananas.
And shoulders are always a tell.
Holy smokes. I was like, oh, whoa, brother. Anyway, sorry to get on that weird steroid tangent. Yeah, so I also found myself trying to like dip away from having the same combos over and over again, because I was like, man, I know they wrestle well against these people, but I'm not just going to sit here and watch them wrestle Benoit and Angle all the time.
But here, let's take a pause and let's appreciate, I understand the man is crazy, but Benoit and Guerrero, like, I'm just happy they had each other to beat the shit out of each other.
Oof, I know. Yeah.
Bro, everything they did, and it was just one of those things, and you know what I mean? Like, I've wrestled guys where, like, we have, like, a connection, and, like, we want to outdo each other, but not in, like, the sense of beating the crap out of each other. I mean, we've wrestled guys who, yeah, that's like their kink, I guess. And sure, do your thing. It's not necessarily my thing, but it was definitely Benoit Guerrero's thing. Like, it was just like they couldn't, like, one of the matches, what was it? Oh, it was the triple threat match at Mania. And I think there might have been another one where it was like they just had to find each other in the match. Like, it was like, you know what I mean? In a triple threat match, it's rare you're married to the same guy multiple times, but like, no, there were definitely like two or three spots of Benoit and Guerrero going at each other, and I was like, I'm not against it. It's Mania, go balls to the wall, and it's never bad. It's always good. But like I said, I'm just glad that they had each other.
I skipped the WrestleMania 19 match because I just like in the last year watched Mania 19 all the way through, so I remember that match. I remember it being messy.
But a good messy. That was my notes. I was like, man, it's pretty chaotic, but they're all really good. So it's not like it falls off the rails. It's just like it's a triple threat match, and it's almost like a tornado tag rules, basically. So, yeah, it's a little chaotic, but I thought it was a good chaotic because they're all super duper professionals. It all stayed on the rails.
Yeah, at times it teetered. It felt like it was about to go over the edge. Like, do they know what they're doing? Do they know? But then it would come back together, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, and they had there were a couple matches like that, like especially like the there was another there was a Benoit Rhino just straight up tag on SmackDown where there was a bunch of false, like a bunch of 1-2 Rhino breaks it up, 1-2 Rhino breaks it up. Like you always hear about that WWF rule or somewhat of a rule. It must just be a modern day thing where you're only allowed like one breakup, so they say. Man, I go back and watching all these old things. There were multiple breakups on big moves.
Yeah, it really shines a light on the ref a lot, which you shouldn't be doing. But I noticed it a couple times where you're like, man, the ref's doing his best. But if he even tries to enforce rules at this point, he's going to screw up the flow of this thing. And it's, you know what I'm saying? He's not going to be doing them any favors or himself any favors by trying to over enforce the rules.
Yeah, and I mean, he's busy counting the pin. He can't stop people from breaking up. That was the only thing I saw that I definitely noticed was, you know, nowadays, apparently, you can only do it once. Back then, they were doing it. Like, there were even times where Eddie kept breaking up because when they'd be hitting big moves on Chavo, 1-2, here comes Eddie. 1-2, here comes Eddie to break it up.
Yeah, but then, like, guy breaks it up, and then the ref doesn't make that guy leave the ring, and then the other guy comes in the ring, and now all four guys are in the ring, and the ref's just like, screw it.
Yeah, it happens.
It does, for sure. I felt like they were a team who never really had not never, but rarely actually had good chemistry off the bat. I thought they had it with Team Angle, at least that's what my memory tells me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched their first match they did with Team Angle and I was like, oh, it's kind of messy actually.
Yeah. Okay, true, but I will say their matches always got better. It wasn't like they, you know, got good and then stagnated and plateaued. It always got better. So, I mean, if it started low, that's okay.
No, I liked it. I like that. I, you know, they, you know, figured out what worked with teams. I also think at times what we consider to be messy or what looks a little messier is a result of those guys calling it on the fly, right?
Probably, or I'm just sure they, you know, they're all professionals. They just have a rough, you know, idea and then, you know, play it by ear.
Yes, that's how I felt, especially early on, or especially when you see them with, like, Benoit Angle. There's a lot of talking going on, and sometimes...
Yeah, I'm sure with those guys, because I'm sure they assume they had a level of comfortability. So, yeah, I'm sure they were all like, ah, we got this. I'll see you out there, blah, blah, blah.
But then I think that's where sometimes where you're like, oh, it got a little messy there. I wonder what that was. And then thinking about it more, I was like, I bet that's just because they're just kind of calling it and going with the flow. And sometimes in front of a large audience, when you're just trying to kind of call it on the fly and go with the flow, some things are going to get lost in translation and some things aren't going to come out exactly right.
Yeah, and once again, like, I don't know. I feel like because all their stuff had, especially when it was, you know, like Angle and Benoit, like everything had such intensity, it shouldn't look perfect. You know what I mean? I like that it was a little messy. I like that they got sweaty. I like that in one of the matches, poor Eddie gets his eye busted open just because I think there was like a shoulder tackle. Like, and they just have to hit each other a million miles an hour. But you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, I'm okay with it being a little dirty.
You said you did watch them against Cena and B2?
Yes.
What do you, Eddie's really hurt in that one, right?
I don't know. What? I didn't take it that way.
He could.
Okay. Are you talking about the one where they jump and kick B2 out?
Yes.
Okay.
Eddie can barely get to his feet to make a tag. Cena like, Eddie like tags with the foot and then barely gets out of the ring and he's like crawling to his corner real slow after he took that Falcon Arrow from B2, I think it was.
Okay. See, I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it as like, oh, this is a match where Chavo's gonna shine. So I just thought, oh, okay, Eddie's hurt. He's gonna be out, and you know, and because Chavo wins. Chavo hits the frog splash and wins, and I'm like, oh, but then I was like, okay. They're turning on B2. It doesn't really matter. Let's throw Chavo a bone. Let him get a big win on his own. So that's the way I took the match.
Really? That's so – I was, like, so sure that Eddie was hurt because he tags randomly with the foot, and then they get Chavo and Cena just kind of get into a hold, and you could see young Cena dip his face into Chavo, and they talk for, like, a solid 30 seconds, head down.
Yes. Okay, now I do remember that, but Eddie, I just thought it was – he's young, you know, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think it was audibles or anything.
Eddie tagged out and never left the ring. He stayed huddled in the ground in his corner.
Well, and now that you say it, I don't know, it sounds vaguely like there may be a story behind that that I vaguely remember, so maybe. But like I said, I saw it more as like, oh, okay, this is good. It's going to be a match where Chavo does everything. Okay, no big deal.
That's crazy. It was the only thing I could think about.
Oh, no. I was watching that. I was looking at Cena in boots going, Cena in boots?
Oh, yeah, that too. And then what happened with Red Dog Rodney Mack? Did he actually become a thing with Cena? I was so intrigued.
I felt like it was for a hot minute, and then he went with Teddy Long and became he's the Mack Militant.
Oh, yeah. I definitely forgot about all of that, but now I want to rewatch all of it.
What you know about the Mack Militant?
And if we can talk real quick about my favorite finish of that FBI match.
Go for it.
So I definitely put that one on because that's one of those matches that I was like, ooh, I don't remember them wrestling Palumbo and Stamboli. But Chavo goes up top, Stamboli meets him, Chavo shoves him off, goes for crossbody, Stamboli catches, throws a fallaway slam, and as he lands on his back from that fallaway slam, Eddie hits him with a frog splash in the craziest timing of all time and smushes his face.
Well, they deserved it, because where are my notes from that match? I was like, I go, the early heat on Eddie looked rough in execution and in feel.
Yeah.
Because I was like, boy, they're big boys and they're young and rough around the edges. And like, but okay, one thing about these Guerrero boys, like we were saying earlier with Chavo, they are phenomenal at fundamentals. So like, no matter who they're in, that young Cena looks stiff as a board, and they make him look like he can actually wrestle when he really couldn't back in the day. Like, that's how good they are. But once again, as I'm watching, I was like, it's because they're just doing fundamentals. It's suplexes, clotheslines, punches. Oh, let me quick aside. Eddie's punches, not conventional, but the intensity makes them look great. Okay, back to it.
No, yeah, I love them. I love the little inside forearm shiver guys because they're not like a traditional forearm either. They're not like a traditional punch, not like a traditional forearm. They're all his own. If you threw those on a show tomorrow, people would be like, oh, he was doing those Eddie Guerrero strikes.
Exactly. But as I'm watching, I was like, I don't think those are necessarily, like, they're not conventionally good. But the fact that there's such intensity, you're like, oh, no, you buy it.
Cena.
You know what I mean? I feel like if anybody else did it, you'd be like,
That Cena B2 match. Cena, in the beginning, when they are trying to shine, he is moving 100 miles an hour when the Guerreros just look like they're moving 100 miles an hour. You know what I'm saying? He had that going on. Cena was trying to keep speed with the speed he thinks that they move.
Yeah, no. Like I said, he looked – yeah, he was – young Cena was definitely something.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like – if I can compare us to Los Guerreros in any way, I feel like they had this, they would think that they could get the young guys to work up to their level and maybe try with some of the young guys. And sometimes it didn't turn out so well.
Oh, yeah. You could see in those matches, it almost seemed like they were like, okay, Cena. Or, like, I felt like a lot of the reason, like, the whole reason he was paired with Eddie was to get him good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both in tag matches and eventually their big, you know, what was it, parking lot brawl gimmick. But, you know what I mean, that whole thing, I felt like, same way when we were watching, like, the FBI, it seemed like, okay, Nunzio is in charge of getting Chris Chetty good. It also seemed like that was Eddie was in charge of, like, okay, anytime you're in there with Cena, you're in charge of getting him better.
But anytime things would get a little whatever, I'd be like, oh, I feel like they overextended. I feel like they thought this team could do this, but maybe not. Maybe you thought that you could do it and they could just follow.
Oh, do you equate with that? Do you?
That's what I was saying. I was like, I feel like we do that same thing.
I try not to. I feel like you're a little more guilty, but anyways.
Eddie, in the babyface era of Los Guerreros, Eddie thought he could do that knuckle grab, arm drag, head scissors with everybody.
Here's the thing. In theory, he should be able to. If you can't do that, take that from him, something's wrong with you.
But he did it with everybody, but man, is it scary coming out off the jump sometimes.
Yeah. It's not the easiest thing. Like, it's quite athletic maneuver, but yeah, in theory, everyone should be able to take that move, sometimes it looks scary.
In the one match, he gives Shannon Moore a big old back body drop all the way across the ring, then hooks up Matt for the arm drag, goes up the ropes. Shannon Moore is clear across that 22-foot ring and sprints back into position to catch those head scissors. It is terrifying.
Yeah, it definitely is. As a man who's definitely done his version of, I've definitely pulled that off before. I've switched it to the drop kick part, but I've definitely done the head scissors part. But man, it's tough trying to get people on board with it. But yeah, it's. But here's the thing, odd. You can once you jump off that rope, you can oddly base off the guy who's holding your hand for a split second. Like Eddie covers a lot of ground. That's a 20 by 20 foot ring. Like, he covers a lot of ground.
He did it with the Bashams.
Yeah, he crazy. What can you say? He's crazy.
The Bashams. What are we talking about? Why would you do that?
Because he thinks he's like Ray. Ray's like, oh, I could do any move with anybody. But Ray, that's because you're 150 pounds. You're like a feather to all these giants. Poor Eddie's like, oh, I'm just doing a handhold Escalera deal. That should be fine. And that's like, okay. Like, I'm sure he. It probably didn't go well with the Miz.
Man, it always landed, but man, was it scary coming off the jump.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right. Any of these other matches you really want to get into here?
Well, here's something I noticed when I watched all these matches. Okay, traditionally, what do we know Los Guerreros as? They lie, they cheat, they steal. Yes. Did you see any of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I only saw in like one match really where they pulled like, or okay, maybe it was two matches where they pulled. Oh, well, the second match became no DQ when they're using when they're using that. But you know what I mean? Like, there's only one other match where I really saw like Chavo pulled like Christian-esque shenanigans with the belt.
Well, they didn't do it like that. They would do like little mini cheats. They were like scheming their way through, because once they started in the lying, cheating, stealing. Once that became their thing, they were baby faces.
I guess, and I feel like maybe now when I think about it, it was more of a singles Eddie thing where he would always use the belt and, you know, and throw it out and, oh, fake, you know, stuff like that. You didn't really see that in the tag.
So they would do, like, little things, like, even though they were baby faces, Chavo would, like, choke with the tag rope, or even though they were baby faces, they would do the clap tag. They would not actually tag just so they could cheat in and out.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? Like, in my head, I was expecting at least a little bit of the whole, like, oh, he brings in the chair, whacks it on the ground, and then falls down and tosses it at him, and he catches it. You know what I mean? That old spot, things like that. But
yeah,
no, for the most part. But I bet WWE's thinking is like, well, we've got Los Guerreros as a team. Like, there's no need for those type of shenanigans in the finish. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure. And in a tag match, some of those spots would be. It's a little tougher.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I could see it being used more as in a singles capacity for Eddie working, you know, against giant monsters and, you know, having to, you know, outthink his way. But here it was like, okay, they're Los Guerreros. They're going to be able to wrestle around any team. You know what I mean? Even the – that's why I liked the – what was it? The versus the Mark Henry and Rikishi?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know what I mean? That I thought was a good match, and you know, they definitely did the whole speed versus strength thing, and they told that story incredibly well. But you know what I mean? Like, the way they were with them, like, they tried to jump them, and all of a sudden, you know, the big guys ran wild on them with the, what was it? It was splashes. It was, oh, and then he fall away through one of the Guerreros into the other Guerrero, and then they fed up for a double line. Like, it was great seeing. Like, I wish there would have been more of that.
Yeah. Me too. When I saw that match, I was like, man, I wish I would have seen that more of them against big dudes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yes, the SmackDown 6 were great, but they were all about the same size.
But, yeah, in those early matches when they were heels, they were great at just whoever's in the ring takes a bump. Whoever's on the apron comes in, they take a bump, regroup on the floor, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I also liked a lot of the old, like a lot of it, like most cutoffs were like knee to the back, throw him outside, and then Eddie's gonna mug him. You know what I mean? I was like that's the thing. They weren't necessarily the most flashy. Like, okay, we're a tag team who likes tag moves. What tag moves do they have?
Right, right. I think at one point I saw them do tornado DDT and frog splash combo.
Yeah, no, the only one I saw consistently was Eddie does the snap bear and then Chavo comes with the basement drop.
Yeah, or body slam Hilo.
Yeah, yeah. They fall more into the, like, Steed and Generico type tag teams where it's combos. It's my move then your move as opposed to we hit a big double bublamo.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they were more combos. Here's the thing. They didn't I had heard, or at one point, the Brain Buster was on the banned moves list. So as I'm watching, I was kind of keeping my eye on it because Chavo would do it early, and it used to be like Brain Buster Frog Splash. I go, okay, perfect. That's their double team finish. But then it switched. Sometimes it was like a suplex. Sometimes it was just a body slam. Sometimes it was Tornado DDT. And I was like, are they getting away from the Brain Buster? But no, he'd still hit other Brain Busters in the match.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's definitely a match I watched in the later half of watching these where he hits a Brain Buster and a Brain Buster too, not like a suplex, but like a, you know.
Yeah.
Why did they ever put that on the banned move list? What a strange move to ban.
Yeah, no, no, but I think it was only for a little bit.
Weird. I can't think of anybody who's ever been hurt on a Brain Buster. Did you
well Undertaker, but it was supposed to be a jackhammer.
Did you see the go for the double flapjack on Charlie Haas, but he tries to tuck because he thinks it's a backdrop.
Oh, and what a great match that was. Like, unfortunately, that's very much like the icing on the top because that's a hell of a match. And then it's he dies, and then it's some like it's some sort of what was it? It's a move, and then frog splash, like 1, 2, 3. Like, it's all like, unfortunately, that him dying on that flapjack like goes right into the finish. So it's like, wow, that's a hell of an ending to a match.
And he's a lot, he's not like it's a rough bump, but I think there's rougher bumps on the indies every day today. So I don't you know, sometimes when something gets real mucky like that, you're like, oh, don't show that again. But with this one, it wasn't that bad, but still pretty gnarly.
Once again, luckily it was the icing on the cake of an incredible match. You know what I mean? It would suck if you died on something like that and it was a crap match and, you know, it went to hell. It was like, all right, I got hurt, but it was an awesome match. So, okay, it's worth it.
I don't think he got hurt per se.
Yeah, no, I don't think he did. Especially that guy. I'm sure his neck's made of steel from all, you know, I mean, being an amateur wrestler, you know what I mean? We have good necks. That's right. I threw a wee in there. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he was, and obviously, like, he fed up, he took a Brain Buster and then a frog splash and wrestled the next week. Like, he survived. But yeah, it was just definitely a zig when he should have zagged.
Yeah, if you've never seen it, Los Guerreros go for a double flapjack on Charlie Haas. I'm sure everyone's seen it, but Charlie Haas thinks it's going to be a back body drop, so he goes to tuck his neck. So they've got his legs, they fall to their backs, and he just goes folded up like a suitcase.
Yeah, yeah, it's rough, but and like I said, and then he gets up and takes a Brain Buster and a frog splash, and it's the end of a great match. So let me see, when was it? I'll look at SmackDown September 1803, because trust me, there's a lot of team angle. It's weird. I like that there's a progression. There's Haas and Benjamin, there's team angle, and then there's the world's greatest tag team.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? They go through the whole gamut with them.
So I watched them wrestle the Bashams from Survivor Series, but technically Eddie and Chavo's last match on TV is also against the Bashams on a SmackDown, and I'm not going to lie to you. I pulled it up, and it looks like it's probably the match where Chavo turns on Eddie, so I said, I'm not watching this.
No, don't you dare.
I can't watch this. Filth.
Blasphemy.
Technically, they did team one more time on a house show against Rey Mysterio and Paul London, which I wish I could watch right now.
Whoa.
In like,
That, here's the thing. I've learned all that stuff's taped. It's got to be, they'll release it in 20 years.
It was in like 06, too. So it was like 2 years after Los Guerreros.
Wow. Okay, you know which team I kept wanting to see, but didn't? I was like, oh, they're like I there was no them in Lance Storm and like Hurricane or something, and I was like, oh man.
If you on house shows, there is them against Edge and Christian at one point.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and them against Billy and Chuck is a house show match.
Oh man! And now that we've talked about it, I bet you the Billy and Chuck one's good because, like we said, it's fun to see them with big guys, and those are big dudes.
Oh my god, so good, so good. That's the bad part about cage match. I'll be scrolling through, and I'm like, oh, them against Billy and Chuck. I'm starting there. Ah, oh, house show match, crap.
Yeah, that stinks.
All right, let's get down to it. Cheech, what made Los Guerreros great?
I think, well, the big thing, they like the pieces, you know what I mean? Like, as we've gone through all these classic tag teams, you know what I mean? It's like a big and a little, a flamboyant and a not so flamboyant. This one was just like they're two really good pieces. Like, it was a great wrestler in Eddie. Like, Eddie's, you know what I mean? Like I said, one of the greatest. And then, like, we talked about the awesomeness that's Chavo, you know what I mean? Like, he totally carried his end. Like, he was a great anvil to Eddie's Bret Hart, or you know what I mean, or Marty to Shawn. But you know what I mean, like not in a bad way. He was the perfect accompaniment. You know what I mean? Hell, they've been a tag team, or you know, they've been teaming together since Chavo was born.
Yeah, I think they're a great tag team because we all know Eddie is so great, and with this tag team, it was able to elevate Chavo to where. I mean, he always could have been, you know, it gave him that like confidence and swagger that he maybe thought he had or was trying to have, but being with Eddie kind of legitimized it. And yeah, I thought everything works about this team.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I don't know if it's weird to say like what makes them great is they're how good they are at basics, but like they may be the best fundamental tag team. You know what I mean? Even as far as like just, you know, the structure of the matches themselves. Like you had said, especially earlier on when they were more the clear-cut bad guys, you know what I mean? When like when they were that, they were the best working tag team at, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Oh my god, yeah. I could watch that team in that role wrestle forever and everybody.
Yeah, and then once we, you know what I mean, and it's not like the babyface side was bad. Like you said, we got cooler stuff, so it all evened out. But if we had our druthers, it's, you know, what they were their best, like you said, in 02, and I think, what was it, the Observer agrees with us.
Yeah, you're right. The Observer does agree with us. Usually they do. Usually Meltzer agrees with me.
You know, me and Dave, we're tight, so you know.
I doubt Dave Meltzer even knows who I am.
Yeah, oh, well, if he doesn't know who you are, he doesn't know who I am.
Yo, Dave, what up?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Dave Meltzer, who's obviously listening.
Obvi listening. All right, now, Cheech, how would we defeat Los Guerreros?
This one was a little bit tough. I say it's weird. I say we'd have to. It's a plan. Bear with me. We got to focus on Chavo, but we got to try and almost drive Eddie crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's obviously the fiery hothead. Like, it almost be to the thing where, like, something in the vein of, like, we refuse to get in with Eddie and we just keep avoiding him just to drive it. Like, you know what I mean? Him, we mess with mentally, and then, ugh, unfortunately, hopefully, try and survive his wrath.
Yeah.
And then here's the thing: we got to try and out shenanigan Chavo. Chavo's sneaky.
He is sneaky. Yeah, I kind of had the same idea. I think we have to use Eddie's temper against him. My other thought, and this
is so scary though.
This goes back to we've brought this up numerous times. We have a manager who is a beautiful young lady because we know Eddie loves the mamacitas.
Oh yeah, yeah. He would be that. He would definitely be distracted.
So we get him distracted by the mamacita. Even if we don't have a manager, we just come out with a lady.
Yeah, yeah.
We get Eddie kind of looking at the lady, and then we roll up Chavo.
Okay, I like that better. Mine was to try and piss off Eddie to discombobulate him and try and beat Chavo. But yeah, yeah, let's just distract him and not have him look at us like we're two Benoits.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember how you were just talking about how him and Benoit used to demolition derby each other? Yeah, that's what we want. We want to make him mad.
Bro, once again, I hope everyone else is like, I'm sure if you had to work them, you were like, thank God that let them just wrestle each other and get it out of their system.
Yeah, so like when it was like Kidman and Benoit against the Guerreros, they're like, Kidman is like, oof, and Chavo's like, oof.
Yeah, they're just on the apron watching going, yeesh, good thing we're out here.
And then they have that trash one-night stand match together.
Well, you heard the story behind that, right?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, I heard the story was for some reason Eddie had a bug up his ass. And A, this is the part I don't necessarily understand. I understand he had a bug up his ass. I heard he was pissed he had to put over Benoit. But I strike that more. That's maybe what he said, but he was just in a mood that day and didn't want to be there.
Wow. Well, that match is, if you've never seen it, continue to go out of your way to not see it.
Yeah, no. I remember watching it and then you're hearing the story that, yeah, that was the issue. But when they were in tag teams and they had Chavo and Angle and whoever on the other end, that was always greatness. So let's more focus on that.
Yeah, agreed. I remember when I was a kid, I asked for Rebellion 2002 on DVD for Christmas because it had Eddie and Chavo against Benoit and Angle on it.
Was it good? That was the one I didn't get to that I wanted.
So
I just like the ones over in England because it just has a different vibe.
It's not as fun as I wanted it to be, but I still loved it because I loved all those guys growing up. But I remember being like, oh, there's a lot of other good things on that pay-per-view, which makes it awesome. But that match, it's just really long.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like I said, I always wanted to see the England ones because, A, different ambiance, and then you never know. Like, sometimes the guys are like, hey, we're somewhere weird. Let's get froggy. And then sometimes they're just like, oh, we're somewhere weird. Let's just wrestle.
I think that's the card that has Rey Mysterio against Jamie Noble against Tajiri in, like, a bonkers good three-way.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's why I wanted to look at that one because I was like, ooh. The Europe ones are always a little wacky in a good way.
It's not that it's just long. I think they just were like, oh, we can go as long as we want. We don't care. But then they're like, oh wait, it's pay per view. We actually have to finish this thing.
Yeah, that was the thing. I did notice. Okay, in closing, as we're getting there, you know what I mean? Like most of their matches, they put in time. Like I was surprised.
Yeah, once we started this, I was like, uh oh, every one of their matches is 15 to 18 minutes. Alrighty, here we go.
Yeah, no, I know. It wasn't a bad thing. I wasn't against it, but I was like, wow, when we looking at all the teams we've looked at, they have, especially for WWF team or WWE team, I'm sorry, they put in a lot of time, especially in the modern era. I'm sure like maybe, you know, the Hart Foundation may have had longer matches or something, but maybe not.
Right, because most of these matches are TV matches, and, you know, TV matches are usually, you know, 10 to 12 is like a long match, but they're looking at like 15 to 18 in most of their matches, which are TV matches.
Exactly. Like they were workhorses. They were definitely carrying quarters of the TV and stuff, like, which is kind of unheard of. But once again, the awesomeness of the SmackDown 6 era.
For sure. And that's, I mean, yeah, you have Eddie and Chavo on a team and wrestling guys like Benoit Angle. You're going to give them, that's going to be most of your television program with good reason.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great, and that was Los Guerreros.
Viva. They lie, they cheat, they steal.
Viva la raza. All right, another one down. We're past 30. Last week was 30. This is 31.
Ooh.
We're getting old.
I know, man. It hurts.
Watching this thing grow up. I feel like just yesterday we were talking about the Steiners. I got some ideas for next week, but we'll probably discuss them off air so I don't pigeonhole Cheech into doing something he doesn't want to do.
Yeah. I fold under pressure. Don't do it.
So I will talk to Cheech after we get done recording, and we will talk to you next week.
Adios.